get unruly. We got a way of dealing with y'all. Discipline, church discipline takes on a little bit different form here. Hey, y'all good? I just need all of y'all to do me a favor. Just everybody take a deep breath and just... That's not... Oh, sorry. I can't even get in the way. That's for me, not for you, but that's how I kind of deal with stuff. I just need to chill out. My wife thinks, oh, you're stressed out. Well, I am stressed out, but that's why I'm trying to calm down a little bit. So anyway, I just want y'all to calm down. Ease up. Lighten up. This is church just right. Before I jump into the message, can I just tell you a story on myself? Yep. All right. Two of y'all. The rest of y'all just don't pay attention. This is to illustrate a point. This is to illustrate that God is at work and that God is working on all of us and that God is working on me and that God uses His word and God uses even the preacher, the messages to speak to the preacher. You know, we just got finished doing a series, a two-part series on relationships. We called it the Love Boat for some goofy reason. Because we're supposed to love everybody. By the way, my grandma used to make us sing a song whenever we would be acting up as grandkids. Y'all know it? It's love everybody, love everybody, love everybody. I do, I do, I do. And you're supposed to hug and kiss. Anyway, that's about all the singing you're going to get out of me. That's not the story I want to tell you. The story I want to tell you is that God's working on all of us all the time, and He spoke through me through the last couple of messages. And if y'all will remember, I told y'all that as you're learning new ways of handling relationships, as you learn ways of expressing love, especially into those relationships that are hard to deal with, as you learn new ways and new opportunities, that God will provide you with opportunities. Y'all remember me telling you about that? In fact, I even told you, maybe even this afternoon, if not definitely tomorrow morning, you're going to have an opportunity to put this into practice. You were given the information, you were lectured, now the test comes in real life. Well, doggone it if God didn't go and do that to me. So, I told y'all that there's some people that I got some have some issues with. One of them is family, and another one is neighbors. Y'all got family you don't get along with, right? Brian does. You got family, and they got neighbors that you don't get along with, right? So here's what that looks like. And God is just, He bothers me sometimes. Does He bother you? So, I get home from church. And we got a little drop box outside of our gate that UPS and FedEx and everybody puts our packages in, right? So I get home from church and I open our drop box. This is last Sunday. You open up the drop box and guess what's in there? That's a good one. She said dead cat. That would have been funny. This wasn't funny. It was a package, but it wasn't addressed to me. Guess who it was addressed to? One of my neighbors. Guess which neighbor? The one that I just don't quite... it's kind of, there's some people that you ain't got anything against them, but you ain't got anything for them. You know what I'm talking about? Or is that just me? So I'm like, I closed it back. And we're like, well, we'll get UPS to come get it. If UPS don't come get it in a day or so, then I'll do the neighborly thing and take it down there. Well, guess what happens? Well, UPS ain't come and got it. Actually, it's FedEx. They ain't come and got it. It's there for a couple of days. And now I open it up and the box is still there. And now I'm like, all I'm saying is God gave me an opportunity. I was like, okay. So I take the back package, put it on the back of the golf cart, and I go and I deliver it to the neighbor. And the whole way down there, I'm praying, God, you know I don't want to do this. You know I don't want to be here. I got other things I'd rather be doing, and this is uncomfortable. I do it anyway. I'm obedient, but I'm submitting to God the whole time. And we had a great 15-minute conversation. It was really good conversation. Needed to happen for me, and it probably needed to happen for him, but I'm not responsible for him. So are you with me? So even today, as you learn stuff, you're going to have an opportunity to put it into practice. So just go ahead and man up, woman up, and do what God's leading you to do, and see if you pass the test. Because if you don't man up and address the test, you'll have another opportunity to address the test. And I mean, you just want to pass it and move on, right? Okay, so that was that. Today's sermon, you got a minute? All right, so today's topic, we're talking about our soul. And so four-part series called Soul Detox is actually based on a book that Craig Rochelle did called Soul Detox. And so we're going to take four topics as we go through. And so the basis for the basic premise of the series, and you got to get this, and this is a truth, this is a principle, is that, and this is on the screen, is that we are not a body with a soul. But we are a soul with a body. Does that make sense? It will become clearer, and it may seem like, well, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So we are not a body with a soul, but at your core of who you are is a soul with all of this stuff wrapped around it. Some of you got more, some of you got less, but you know, all this stuff wrapped around it. And so if that's the core of who we are, then when there's unrest, then that's being affected. When there's torment, that's what's being affected. When there's a burden, that's what's being affected at the core. And so we want to address some of these things and get some of the things out of our lives that keep us from being restful or that cause us to be tormented, that we want to address some of those. We want to detox our body of some of those things as we go through. So let me illustrate this principle with Scripture. This is in Genesis chapter 2. And you with me? And the Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground. So we are really just dust. And he breathed into his nostrils the what? The breath of life. And that is what caused the man became a living soul. At our core, what makes us different is our soul. You might call it your spirit, and either one, it's all good, but at the core of who we are is a spirit or is a soul. And so there's a couple of things that make us different from the animals and from the dogs and from whatever else that you think is just that you hold in high esteem. Some of us treat animals better than we do people. There's an issue. But one is, and both of these things are found in Genesis, one is that as humans, we were made in the likeness of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Dogs and cats wasn't made like that. Guinea pigs, whatever else, horses, I mean, even the best of whatever. They weren't. We were created in His image. Makes us different, makes us unique, makes us special. By the way, did anybody know what God used to make the animals and the birds? Anybody? I couldn't have told you either. I thought that He just would have spoke them into me. And this is, and I'm your preacher. He used the same thing. He used dirt. Dust of the ground, formed them from the ground. Well, there you go. So you know a little bit of trivia now. But you know what He didn't do to the animals? He didn't breathe the breath of life. He didn't give them a soul or a spirit. So it's the second thing that makes us unique, makes us different as human beings. Okay? You with me? So that's what we are, and that's who we are, and that's what we are at our core. And things get in there and start to mess with us that mess with our soul and that cause a disruptiveness that we need to get out. So, tell you a quick little story. Sorry about this. My father-in-law smokes cigars. And it's about the only thing that's worse than smoking cigarettes, okay? The brand that he smoked, and I don't know what it was or if they were just cheap, but it smells like something you went and picked up out of the yard and you lit a match to. And it's bad. So there's a reason that's important, and he can do whatever he wants to. Y'all can do whatever he wants to. But my kids stayed over there when my kids were little. My mother-in-law watched them when they were little. Praise God for grandmas, by the way, who watch little kids, eh? Can I get amen on that one? For those who did that for you and for you who are doing that for them. Praise God for them. But anyway, our kids would come home after staying there during the day for daycare, for whatever, you know, and God, they smelled just like that. And it's like they needed to have a bath when they came home from my father-in-law's house, just to detox all that, whatever, just so you could stand being around them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody? It was just bad. But we had to get all that out just so we could stand to be around them and so that they can go to bed and they didn't infect the sheets and everything else. And I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but in a similar way, there are things that get in us and on us. I mean, we are, even if you are a believer, we're still in the world. We're just not of the world. We have to be in the world. We're a part of it. And the culture and everything else gets on us. And if we're not careful, it doesn't just get on us, but it permeates just like that dog turd cigar that my father-in-law smoked. Sorry, it's just what it was. It goes deep. And it goes deep, and it begins to affect our soul. And so the culture that we live in and that you can't do anything about, I mean, you can try to isolate yourself totally from it and just go live in wherever, Montana somewhere. When I close my eyes and I'm just kind of, I'm dreaming of going and living in Montana. That's appealing, right? But listen, as believers, it's hard to be doing anything of kingdom value if we've totally isolated ourselves, if we do exactly what we would want to do. So we've got to detox from all that stuff. So we're going to be talking about what the culture and how the culture affects our soul, and that we have to take care of our soul because our soul is the core of who we are. Listen, if I strip all the skin and bones and muscle and everything else and the nerves and the digestive system and the all the systems off of you, you still exist. We couldn't see you because it's the invisible part of you. It's the spirit part of you. It's the soul part of you. It's the part of you that God created to last forever. That's why all this is going to go away, and we're incredibly glad about that, right? We're going to get a new one as believers. If we've surrendered and we've accepted what Jesus done, all this is going to be new. We call it a glorified body. Say glorified body. Yeah, and I love y'all, and some of y'all look pretty good, especially you, Shane. Yeah, but you ain't glorified yet, but we're going to get that way, and I don't know what that looks like, but I'm anxious for that. This side, we got to deal with all this, and we oftentimes spend an awful lot of time on all this, don't we? And we're grateful for it. Some of you are really glad that you brushed your hair. We're really glad you brushed your teeth, and we're really glad some of you put on makeup, but we, just kidding. Y'all take me way too serious. But we spend a lot of time on all this, don't we? And we don't necessarily take care of our soul. So do me a favor. Can we just bow our heads for a second? We need to focus. Lord, this morning I pray that you will speak to us and that you will speak to our souls and our spirits. Lord, that as we touch on things that may seem a little basic, they will be incredibly relevant and real to us. We'll take seriously what you are speaking to us and what we need to do to find rest for our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we're going to be talking about a tortured soul. We're going to be talking about a heavy soul and a seduced soul. I don't know. It sounds enticing to me. But today we're talking about the restless soul. Today we're talking about that unrest that's inside of us. And it's, you know, we can look at an example. This is in Genesis also. It's a curse of the restless soul. Listen to what happened to, y'all remember Cain and Abel? So Abel was the hunter. He dealt with the flocks and the sheep. And Cain, the younger brother, tended the fields, and he took care of the crops. And so each of them brought a sacrifice to God, brought an offering to God, if you will. And Abel's was accepted, and Cain's was not. And Cain got butthurt about it and took it out on God. And he also took it out on who? Yeah, took it out on his brother, didn't he? So God says to Cain, he says, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Verse 12, he says, "When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you." That's part of the curse. Check out this other part. This is harsh. He says, "You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And for the rest of his days, he was. Now, I'm not saying we're under a curse, but what I am saying is we are in a culture that pushes busyness and pushes working, overworking on us, and pushes us to not stop and to not take breaks and to not rest. And we're in that culture. And if we allow that to get to us and to infect us, then we will be, okay, I'll just go ahead and say, we will find ourselves, and some of us already are, be a restless soul, a restless wanderer on this earth. And so what it causes us to do, this is on your screen. I know you're not taking notes, but this is good stuff to be able to visualize. The restless soul is searching. The restless soul is searching, but never finding. Searching and never finding. We're looking for satisfaction. I mean, there's, you know, we talk about kind of being a hole in our heart, a hole in us that we're trying to fill, and we're trying to find, you know, something to satisfy, whether it's the next high, whether it's the next experience, whether it's the next relationship, whether it's the next job. Some of you are so weird. Whether it's the next degree. I mean, it's like you just can't get enough of school. What is wrong with some people? God love you. I mean, but we're always looking, just never quite finding satisfaction. So we look harder. We run harder. We strive harder. We're more and more and more, and we got to whatever. And so we're just busier about that. And it causes this restless soul syndrome, if you will. Everything's a syndrome anymore, right? So restless soul syndrome, we'll just call that. It's interested in everything, satisfied with nothing. And I just wonder if that maybe is just a small piece. Just ask yourself, I mean, is there any piece of me or my soul that's kind of like that? Just, it's not stopping, it's not slowing down, it's restless, it's always looking for, and it's the next thing. And the next, maybe it's just you're a list person, it's just the next thing I got to check off my list, and check this off my list. Listen, there's never going to be the end of a list, because even when I make lists, I'm just a little bit of a list person. When I make a list and I get everything checked off, there's incredible satisfaction, but guess what follows that list? Yeah, there's just always another lid. You turn the thing over. There's more. There's never satisfaction. Some of us have an inability to really shut down, to turn our brains off. I mean, some of you, even when you sleep, you're restless and you're dreaming and you just can't. I mean, dreams are good, but anybody ever work in your dream? Is that a nightmare or what? Now, I cut trees for a living. And we run all the limbs through a chipper. Point of telling you that is I've done that all my life. It's all I've ever done. The worst night's sleep are the nights when I dream of chipping limbs all night long. Check this out. I'm just wanting to show you how relevant God's word is. Written, this probably 4,000 years ago. This is in Ecclesiastes. Look, it says, you don't have this anywhere. Oh, yeah, you ain't got this anywhere. Right here. You paying attention? It's really easy. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Is it possible that I've chipped too many limbs, and so that's why I don't know. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. It's crazy. It's crazy what happens to us, what we do to ourselves by not getting rest for our souls. I'm going to talk to you about how to do that, but we just have a hard time shutting our brains down. I'm going to give you an exercise. In fact, I'm going to make you exercise. Not like you don't have to get up. This is that kind of exercise where you don't have to get up out of your chair or out of your seat. This is going to be good. But we're going to do exercise a little bit later on. This is Ecclesiastes now, chapter 2, verse 22. Again, the wisest man who ever lived speaks these words. We all have these moments, right? What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Even night, his mind does not rest. Chipping limbs. What do you do in your sleep when it's restless, when you've worked too much, when it's all been about work, check off, and the next thing. Maybe it's the kids for you. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the kids for you. The truth is, maybe it's ministry for you. That there's always going to be something else and if we're not taking a break and we're not getting rest for our souls, we'll talk about that in a little bit. How do you do that? If we're not, then we stay restless. Are any of us there? I mean, no hands, no whatever, no elbows. Some of you might be sitting by the most restless person you know. But you can't do nothing about them. Is there some restlessness inside of you? Is there always the next relationship, the next accomplishment, the next thing, the next purchase, the next dollar, the next promotion level, the next, is there, I mean, what is it for you that you've worked hard for that next degree or that next whatever, and yet, but it just doesn't satisfy. Wonder why that is. Is it possible that next whatever isn't meant to? Is it possible that next whatever, you fill in the blank, isn't capable of satisfying that hole in our soul? I'm just asking questions. Don't get mad at me. So our bodies need rest, right? And if you don't get rest for your body, where do you wind up? In the hospital, forced to be in the bed, forced to get some rest. I see it happen over and over and over again. I'm laughing. It hasn't happened to me yet, so it will catch up to us. And I'm just telling, and I haven't mastered this. Please, please, please understand, I have not mastered any of this. I am learning it. I will say I am mastering it. How about that? But we're doing this together. So we're working on this. And all of us are at different levels, but we all fight this to some degree. And so just like your bodies need rest, your brain needs to shut down. Your brain just needs to shut down. And also our souls need to shut down, need to at least get some rest. So the question is, so where do we find rest for our souls? If we need it, David, if I got to have it, where do I plug into that? Where do I find that? And I would say, and the answer is, our souls find rest in God and in God alone. It's not God plus your accomplishments. It's not God plus your relationships. It's not God plus your degrees. It's not God plus your titles and plus your, you know, anything. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's in God alone. You with me? It's in God. Our souls find rest. And so here's the scripture to back that up. Here's the truth, the principle to back it up. My soul, David says, finds rest. My soul finds rest. I know how to find it with my body. I lay in the bed. I know how to find it with my brain to some degree. I don't know how you know, what do you take? Anybody ever been under general anesthesia? You raise your hand if you've been knocked out. Woo, man, that's the only thing that's better than morphine. Hey, I mean, because it's like, there's nothing. I'm talking to you, and the next moment I'm gone, I'm out. I've had it happen a couple times. It's pretty cool. Anyway, it's a good thing you can't just go buy that stuff on the street, right? But where do I find this rest for this innermost part of me? And it's found in God alone. Now, I got to flesh that out for you, because it's just like, okay, well, God, where are you? Give me rest. And that may be where it starts. But my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from, my deliverance comes from who? God. My salvation comes from, and I am delivered from, by God. I mean, that's where it comes from. And we can acknowledge this all day long here in church because we're in church. I mean, if I ask you a question, Jesus, you know, God, the Bible, I mean, they're pretty basic answers, right? You can't hardly screw up. Tomorrow, I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever it is. I mean, what's going to remind us of this? What's going to help us to remember? You know, that, oh yeah, I'm back to my same default mode. It's not all your fault. We're influenced by the culture. Default mode, I'm looking for. But yes, I was reminded, in God alone is my soul going to find rest. So how do I plug in all that, and what does that look like? We got to talk about that. We got to figure that part out. No person, no experience, no dream, no thing can give the internal rest like God can and like the presence of God. Similar to what you experience during worship, if you allow yourself to experience worship, being in here while this team does their thing, does something to me and for me and on me. It takes me to a place. One might say it takes me into the presence of God. Well, God's everywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not really moving, and God's not moving. I mean, if he's here, but it's almost like it takes stuff away and out of the way. Y'all are out of the way. It's one of the reasons why I like being on the front row. Ain't nobody in front of me, and it's just me and them and God. And it's that I am moved. I become emotional because I feel and I sense the presence of God. And there is a peace that comes in those moments that you cannot buy. Look, if our very souls are a gift from God, if our innermost being, our innermost part of us, our soul, our spirit, was breathed into us by our Creator. Now just get that image for a minute. I mean, God's formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And it's like he lifts him up and he's, I don't know, and God's Spirit passes somehow, weird, I don't know, I don't get it all, but it, the breath of life was God's Spirit being breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he not just comes to life, but he comes to life as a spirit being, as that one that when the body dies, he still lives because the inside of him is his soul, is his spirit, comes to life. And as if that's happened to us, as if, by the way, this is cool, you might not have known this, John tells a story of how Jesus brought his disciples, his little entourage, near and breathed life, breathed spirit into them. You got to go look that one up. That's cool connection that God did that for Adam. Jesus did that. The spirit was breathed into them through. I just think that's really cool. So that innermost part of us, it was breathed into us by our Creator. It only makes sense that it's in His presence then that's going to be fueled, that in that presence of the one that gave us that spirit, that our spirit is soothed, that in the presence of the one who gave us our souls, that soul is rested and calmed, right? It just makes sense. Coats, soothes, relieves. I mean, who do you know that's talked about God being like Pepto-Bismol? Is it that commercial now that where they, you know, do, you know what I'm talking about? Have y'all seen that? God, what is wrong with that? God coats and soothes and relieves. We can get away with anything on TV these days. St. Augustine said this, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you." Listen, all of us has got it. Red and yellow, black and white, big, small, you know, whatever. All of us, wherever you are, believer, non-believer, you've all got a soul that's going to live on forever. And those of us who have accepted Jesus' death on the cross as payment for our sins, that have received that forgiveness, that have sensed that forgiveness, that relief from the weight of our sins, those of us who have surrendered, you know, and I know that ain't none of us perfect, but as Christians, there was a moment in our lives when we surrendered our life to Jesus, said, "Jesus, I'm all yours. I want you to live your life in me and through me, your spirit to be in my spirit," and now we're connected. For those of us who have received that, we're going to find rest for that same soul when we bring that soul back to the one that created us, back to the one that we've surrendered to. And we find not just rest for our souls, but we find purpose for our soul. And if you're not yet a believer, you still got that soul, that spirit inside of you. It's just, you just don't have God's spirit inside of you. And I'm just saying, so to the one that gifted that to you, when you come to that realization that He has gifted you with life, He's gifted you with a soul, with a spirit, when we bring that same spirit back to Him and surrender that to Him, that spirit really comes to life then. And that peace that all of you are looking for, that all of you lack to some degree in some area, and I say you people, all of us lack in some area of our lives, we are able to sense that peace and get that rest. And it's needed. It's necessary. Look what Jesus says. You paying attention? Jesus says, "Come to me." Charles Spurgeon says, "Come to me" is one of Jesus' favorite phrases. Not go to there and do this and do that, but pay attention. This is incredible. In fact, it was awesome because somebody prayed this into the mix this morning. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." Has he missed anybody here? Okay, all of you who are weary, you at least weary of somebody in your life, if not weary of something, if not weary of your own dang self. All of you who are weary and burdened, Jesus says, "And I will give you rest." Not I'll give you something else to do, although there are things to do. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Well, I don't know about you, but I think about yoke and oxen, and now we're bound to another oxen. That sounds like oxen or cow or whatever, or bull. That sounds like work to me, don't it? "But take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart," he says, "and you will find rest for your souls. Listen, there is work to a degree in ministry and into doing what God wants us to do. When an individual surrenders to Christ and gets on board, signs up for God's army, yes, there is a degree of work. But when we learn how to do God's work God's way, it's easier. Can I illustrate this for you? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So I told you I cut trees for a living. Truth is, I stand back and watch people cut trees for a living now. It's pretty cool. I've kind of done my time. One of the things we do after we cut a tree down, because this is a tree that was cut down. Actually, it was cut down that way. One of the things we do is we got to cut the stump off. Well, you can probably tell that this stump just got cut off with a chainsaw, right? Okay, and you cut a stump off that close to the dirt without, we call it shaving it, you get a bunch of dirt in your chainsaw, okay? So what we do is we knock that bark off, because in that bark's where all, did I get you? On that bark is where all the dirt is, so you knock that off. And really what we do, we get the newbies to do that, because it's hot out there, you know? Who wants to do that? And I've done my time. So what we do, we get the newbies over there. And so the newbies get out there, and you got to let them try it first. And they get out there with axe, and they're going at it, man. They're going at it like they're going to chop that sucker down. It's already down. You know, we don't need you to cut the stump off. We just need you to shave it. And so they're out there, you know, rah, 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 and, you know, they get about this far around, and now they're just, and they're sitting down drinking some Gatorade, and it's like, okay, can I show you a better way now? Can I show you how to do it? You let the axe do the work. Y'all with me? Let the axe do the work, and you know, you swing it up, and you just kind of, you know, go at it like that, and kind of let it do its thing, and sooner or later, you know, all that bark just starts coming off, and it takes some time, but you're not having to rah, go at it all the way. Does that make sense? You with me? All right, so there's an easier way to do the job sometimes. And even in ministry and even in life, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. We're going to hang together. You know, we're going to do this together. And you can't both chop together, but you know, let me show you a better way. And so you can accomplish the same thing. You can do work and do it a better way. Would you agree? And so when we learn to do your work, when you and I learn to do our relationships, when you and I learn to do our ministry that God has given us, when you and I learn how to raise kids, when you and I learn how to, you know, you put a man and a woman together for 33 years. I mean, and they ain't killed each other, or at least given some bumps and some bruises, or better yet, gone to counseling together, and they've survived. I mean, they've had to learn some stuff. And so all those areas, work, raising kids, marriage, relationships, your neighbors, ministry, when we do those things God's way, it is easier. It's still work. They call it work for a reason. I'm working at it, but it's easier. Does that make sense? Jesus can show us an easier way when we operate according to his scriptures. And so we bring all that back to our souls. We're restless, and we're wandering, and we're trying to fill, and we're busying. And he says, find rest and find it. He says, I will give you rest. But at the very front, at the beginning of that passage, he says, you've got to come to me. Gotta come to me. When you're done wearing yourself out and you have 25 minutes and that's all you gotten done, when you're done, and Jesus is such a gentleman, isn't he? God is such a, he's a great teacher. And sometimes you can't teach somebody a better way until they've tried a bad way. We've tried all the different areas of life our way, and we still got that restless soul. Then we're ready. Then we're an incredible, it's not a negative, it's a positive. Then we are a prime candidate. You and you and you are prime candidates today to receive rest for our souls. I love it. So how do we find rest in God? You ready? First thing we do, how do we find rest in God? Is we've got to be still before God. Interestingly, today it's not this way, but generally here in this place, in this room, there's a bunch of rugrats that are down here on the front, and they're just like, y'all can't even get by because they're just like, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, well, I can't come to church with my kids. No, you can come to church. No, you don't know my kids. No, you don't know the kids that come to our church. You know, you come to our church and it looks like somebody kicked over an ant mound and they're just kind of everywhere. You know, you're going to step on one before you leave church. That's just kind of the way it is. But so you got them running all over the place and nobody can control them. I mean, you can't control them at home. How do you expect us to control them at church? I love what Greg says about our church. This is great. You're a Pastor Greg says this about our church. He says, our kids just ain't church broke yet. Kids at our church just ain't, they ain't house broke. They ain't church broke, you know. They ain't been in church long enough, and it's okay. This is the place for all of y'all and all of us. It's a process. It's learning. Oh, the point for all that is, you know, trying to get one of those kids to, you know, sit down. You know, sit, and I know y'all, sit down, shut up, and don't move, you know. It's hard. You got to wrangle them, and you're just like herding cats, but, you know, you just want to sit down. You got kids like that? Got grandkids like that? Okay, so they're everywhere. And listen, they're not in here right now. There's a reason they go out down the hallway to a class where they can be loud and they can get taught by people that are better prepared than I am. David says this, be still and know that I am God. God speaking through him in the Psalms. Be still. Be still. Busyness. Again, we've got to detox from that busyness. How do you do that? Is it a pill you take? You know, is it something you whip up, muster up? It starts, be still. Jesus says, come to me. Be still. And when we do that, we can know that who is God? He is God. What's the advantage in that? What's the implications of that? Yeah, you are not God. Whoa, wait a minute. And for me, and I know you, David, you should have got this a long time ago. I've known this for a long time. I'm not God, that means I don't have to be in control. I don't have to be responsible for everything getting done. I don't have to be responsible for the results. I do the right thing. I am obedient and leave the results up to God. It's a beautiful place to be. Somebody this morning has talked about the image of a baby fighting sleep. You know what I'm talking about? They're tired. They're wore out. It's an hour past their bedtime when they should have gone to sleep, but they're fighting it now. How silly is that? We look at them and say, won't you, if you just be still, you'd go to sleep. If you just shut up for 2 seconds, you'd go to sleep. Are we any different? David says in the Psalms 131, but I have stilled and quieted my soul. You and I can't whip up rest for our souls, but we can do what we can do. Can we make ourselves be still? Huh? Okay. Can we make ourselves be quiet? Okay. So what you and I can do in this soul resting endeavor is we can do the possible and leave the impossible up to God. Sit down, shut up, stop ruining my life. No, I mean, just sit down, shut up, be still, and quiet my soul. That would be an incredible exercise for some of us. I have stilled and quieted my soul. I love the imagery. Like a weaned child with its mother. A kid that has always gotten the satisfaction from his mom has now been weaned and now knows that that same mom is going to continue to meet the needs. Going to continue to provide the food that needs this there. And that kid can then rest in its mother's arms. One of the few references or instances, if you will, of God being even like a mom. I think that it's pretty cool. You moms need to hang on to that. Unsettled, you know, if we're restless, then just be still for a couple of minutes. And when we are still and when we're quiet, what we tend to do is where we're thinking about our list. Oh, man, I need to go. I got to, whatever, mend the fence and slop the hogs and cut the grass and pay the bills and fix supper and do the laundry and change the diapers and beat the kid and, you know, whatever. Go fuss at the neighbors, whatever you do. I got to make that phone call. I need to go. I need to, you know, all the stuff that we've got to do is all up in there. And one might, when we say that, I ain't got time to be still, one might say to us, you don't have time to not be still. You can't afford to not be still. Maybe Well, the next thing to do, how do we find rest in God, is we are still before God, and then we wait for God. Well, the Bible says that with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. I ain't got 1,000 years. I ain't got 1,000 seconds. I mean, you tell me you're going to be somewhere at such and such a time, and it's like a minute past, I am done with you. I'm done waiting. I am restless. I'm impatient. I'm now mad, and now I'm having some bad thoughts. You know, I should be giving you the benefit of the doubt. The traffic slowed you down. You had a flat tire. You couldn't find your keys. Your kid was whatever. But I'm just, you know, it's hard for us. What am I saying? Oh, so waiting on God, we can be just as impatient with Him, can't we? Similar to, God, I need some patience and I need it now. Similar, God, I stopped for 5 seconds and you didn't say nothing. You know, nothing happened, nothing magical happened, nothing stirred. I mean, my hair didn't raise up. I mean, you know, my blood pressure's up, but, you know, you ain't done that. And so we wait. And similar to God watching us, you know, do our thing and do our thing and do our thing, and God let us, you know, learn and see, He's making us wait. You know, just be still. Just hang tight. He's making us wait. And He's not, listen, you paying attention? God loves you, and He's not jerking you around. He's not playing games with you. He's teaching you something. And so when I am still, you know, for me, my stillness and my quietness is, you know, I go upstairs and nobody can make fun of me, and my wife don't come up there and bother me because she's not supposed to come up in the man cave. There's only one condition for her to come up in, two conditions for her to come up in the man cave, and she doesn't always obey those. But for me, there's upstairs, you know, it's quiet, and I can get on the carpet. You all right? You give her this? Okay, I'm not going to fall asleep. And I got a pillow down there, and I can just kind of do like this, and I can get my face down, and I just, that's how I'm still. And it's been a learned thing. It hasn't come easy. It's a learned thing. You know, when I first started, I'd get down there and like, okay, this is silly, you know? And I get up and I waited. God, you didn't do anything. But now I'm learning. So as I'm quiet in front of Him and I am learning to wait, as I'm waiting, stuff starts to come to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, the first things that comes, all the to-dos, and I gotta, you know, there's the stuff and whatever, and you know, all that. But then and it's a learned process. Listen, we're growing. It's this journey. As I learn, and I shove that aside, table that's gonna be there. You've taken 5 seconds or 5 minutes. This is the encouragement, is a challenge for God. Will you give Him a chance to speak to you? And you shove that stuff aside, and I wait for God, and stuff comes. I mean, I don't know how to do this for you, but thought, for me, it's thoughts start to come. And I'm, you know, you learn to determine, is that just your thoughts, or is it the enemy doing some stuff, or is it really God inspiring and giving you stuff? And I'm like, ooh, you know, that was good. And I'll go ahead and I'll just thank Him for it. God, that was good. I appreciate it. I don't want to do it. Like, go see your neighbor. But I'm the fact that I am confident that I received something from God does something for me and for my soul. There was a connection made. You know, I waited. I was still. I asked Him to give me rest. I asked Him to speak to me. And I felt like I got something back. And, you know, for those of us, hey, I've heard y'all say it before. Well, I prayed and didn't nothing happen. Well, I mean, if we could all just pray one prayer and, you know, the whole world has changed. I mean, that would, listen, hey, wake up. That's fantasy land. You're dreaming. This is the real world. You know, this is earth. This is not paradise. God's not a genie. Connect with Him. And listen, I mean, I just got to say, I mean, you know, if what you've been doing, you know, ain't working, then are you willing to try something better? Be still before God and wait for God. The Bible says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. It's not He's busy dealing with the other 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, minus one. It's not he's got to get around you. It's not your number ain't come up yet. It's he's doing something in you because he loves you. And because he needs to make you more like Jesus. You're going to have to wait a little bit. Okay, I've asked, Robin, you got 3 minutes? I mean, you can't leave till 12 anyway, without being conspicuous, so you might as well come up here. I've asked Robin to come up. Y'all give Robin a hand, if you will. Reason for getting her to come up, there's several of them, and they will become apparent. But I've asked her to counsel me. In front, she is my counselor, by the way. Hey. I've asked her to give me some counsel this morning. And she's going to take my seat, evidently. God, there ain't but two women that get to tell me what to do. Thank you for coming up this morning. Ma'am? So, you know me, you know my story. By the way, she's been counseling me for, I don't know, 6 years, 10 years, I don't know. And so this is a process. So with today, I come in, I might talk to you about my soul is restless and it's all stirred up. And what would you begin to tell me and speak to me or ask me in order for me, I don't know, I'm not asking a direct question. Help me find rest. How do I...
Well, I think what usually happens is that, first of all, we look at what God is doing in that. So if he has not, if you are restless, then I'm assuming he's allowing you to do that. He's allowing that to happen to you. So since nothing happens without his permission, then even the fact that you're restless, he's up to something, or he has a purpose.
No. That's a pause button.
Okay.
That's good stuff. I don't get to do that because she sits further away from me. But so he's allowing this. Okay. So he's doing something in me. Okay.
So I think the first thing that you or I want to do is ask him, what are you up to? Why are you allowing me to be here?
That's an okay question?
That's an absolutely okay question.
He's not offended by that.
He's not offended by that at all. It's just that, as you've pointed out, we don't often wait for the answer.
So one of the benefits of sitting in front of or across from a counselor or an elder or even a pastor is... you're having to sit and talk about, ask your question, and then you're waiting for an answer and you're getting some feedback. I mean, it's good to get that. Allow you to, sometimes just talking it out can help. Usually, I can answer my own question that I have for her by just talking to her, and it's really frustrating because I'm like, oh yeah, well, I know. And so, you know, don't even have to do anything. Just look at that. She just looks just like that. And what she's watching is light bulbs come on. And what I get to see in us is light bulbs coming on. Okay. Any other extra credit? Any other goodie in there?
Can I just add something that I was thinking while you were talking? What he has given to me over the last couple of months is the difference between work and rest. And I thought rest was don't move, sit down. And for me, that wasn't a good feeling. It didn't seem to resonate. And what he gave to me was that work is when I'm in charge. Hmm. Work is when I have to be in charge of the outcome. Work is when I'm calling the shots. Rest is when he's calling the shots, when I'm looking for what he has in something and I'm letting him direct. I'm looking just to figure out what obedience is. So when when I'm resting, I can be doing something, but I'm not accomplishing my goal. If I'm resting, I'm allowing him to accomplish his goal.
So, but this is, that's a mental thing.
It's, so I may look to an outsider the same. I may look like I'm working because I am doing something, but I am not doing something that I'm trying to make happen. I have been with him and I'm allowing him to direct it.
So it's a change that happens in our minds, but it becomes a change that happens in our hearts and in our character.
And if I'm restless, then I'm probably not resting.
So that's an indicator.
Or obeying, that's right.
Okay, thank you very much. That's awesome. Okay, so when we are able to do our rest, our stopping and our being still, what do we do in those moments? One of the things we can do is we need to read some scripture. What do you read? Where do you read? Honestly, all truth is God's truth, and all of this is direct revelation of God, from God to us. So you can't screw up. Read it. Just start reading somewhere. And there's a million and one, you know, devotionals that'll give you a verse a day or whatever. YouVersion is incredible. And, you know, it's inexhaustible, honestly. So getting into God's scripture, and so how much do you read? What do you read? Read to something, just like I talk about, I lay there and I feel like I get something from God. Read to you, to God, something speaks to you, and then just stop and meditate on that in that moment. You know, you can ask God some questions. God, what do you want to say to me? And you know one of the reasons we don't ask God that question? Yeah, we don't want to know what you're going to say to us. God, what do you want to say to me? God, what do you want to show me? God, what do you want to do in me? Another question, another thing that we can do while we're being still and while we're waiting is to reflect on God's goodness. I mean, what do I do in those times? You know, if you're restless in your purposefully resting to get rest for your soul from God, what do you do if you're restless? Well, if you're restless, then just start listing, if you want to list some things, just start listing the things that God's been so good to you in and with and about. You know, we're tempted to think about all that I have to do. Instead, we can think about all that God has done. Reflect on God's goodness. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Sometimes we don't realize how good he's been to us until we stop and just start to count the ways, you know, and so we start rattling some stuff off. You know, just start somewhere with what he's done. He's given you, he got you up today, and you might have wished that he hadn't, but he got you up today, so he's got you up for a reason. God, thank you for him and for her and for this and for that and for, you know, perspective is always an incredible thing. I'm envious of other churches and other pastors inside, so I'll just give you a glimpse into my heart. And I got to repent of that. And then God allows me to see other churches, the same churches that I'm envious of, allows me to see their problems. And I'm like, man. I mean, because you know, churches are, you know, aren't perfect because they're full of people, and even leaders are imperfect. And I'm like, whew, I thought I had issues, and I thought we had whatever, but I'm just, you know, I'd like to be, but man, they got problems. We ain't got no problems compared to some problems. So anyway, I'm just saying that even sometimes perspective is a wonderful thing God brings us. So I just thank God for my problems. Have you ever thanked God for your problems? Because they ain't as big as other people's problems. I mean, again, you start somewhere. It's great. All right. Be still. Wait patiently for God. Watch what he does, and reflect on his goodness. I am going to give you a last verse. And this verse is going to stay on the screen for a few moments. Well, to the end of the service. And I want you to use this to reflect on and to point you in the direction of God. And then we're going to do something very uncomfortable. But you don't have to get up out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to talk to anybody. I'm not going to ask you to come up on stage. That's really uncomfortable. It's just going to be a little uncomfortable. I'm just going to ask you to be still and to be quiet. And Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all know this. I shall not want. And He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. In verse 3, He does what? He restores my soul. There is rest found for my soul. We're only going to find that rest for the most inmost part of us when we are still, still. When we are still, when we are quiet, and when we reflect on God's goodness, and when we reflect on His truth of His Word that He's taught us. So I just want you to do me a favor. It'll ultimately be you a favor. Close your eyes. You're not getting up. You're not moving around. You just close your eyes. If you got crap in your hands, put it on the floor. Get rid of it. And be still. Lord, we've taken a couple minutes this morning, and yes, a little odd feeling. For some of us, really odd feeling, because we don't really stop and rest and reflect and get quiet in front of You. We're grateful for this moment, for the opportunity that we've had to just let You begin to do something in us and on us. Lord, there are guys and gals here who need that rest for their souls. And I just want to pray for all of us, Lord, that we will receive that from You. That today was the beginning of taking moments, of taking minutes, and sitting in front of You and allowing You to bring perspective. Allow You to bring that peace that passes all understanding, to allow You to begin to restore, maybe even rebuild what's been going on inside of us. God, there are guys and gals here that believe that today is going to be a new beginning for them, who have never really surrendered and committed their life to You. And so I want to give them that opportunity to do that. And so we've got some believers here, and I'm going to ask them to kind of pray this as well. And Lord, for anybody out there that wants to invite You into their life, to surrender and allow You to bring that forever rest for their souls. This is a prayer I'm modeling. Whether it's out loud or quiet, that's up to you. You just pray this to God. Just say, "Dear God, I thank You for creating my soul. I thank You for creating and breathing into me a spirit. Lord, my spirit ultimately has been longing for You. And I realize that now this morning. Lord, I'm bringing me and bringing my spirit, my soul to You. Lord, I want to commit some things to You. I'm going to commit that I believe. I want to confess that I am believing that You died on the cross for me, Jesus. That for whatever reason, You decided that You wanted to spend eternity with me. And You made that possible by dying to have my sins forgiven. that barrier between me and you removed. You did what was possible. So Jesus, I thank you for that. I commit my life to you, my soul to you, and pray that you will bring that rest that I've been longing for in my heart and in my soul. And I commit these things to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, we're going to close out with a song. The band's going to play, just kind of bring all this back together. Then they'll dismiss you. I thank you for being here today. I thank you for making commitments today, for being bold, making some commitments to God. And I thank you for allowing us to have a part in your life. Y'all have an incredible afternoon.